This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low, couldn't get a ticket, it was a sold out show. Heard the roar of the crowd, he could picture the scene, put his ear to the wall, and like a distant scream, he heard one guitar.
Welcome back, Bennett Woods, halfway home on a Tuesday morning. Great to be here with you. Looks like a banner day out there in San Diego, from what I can tell through the little sliver of window that we have.
Why do they call it a banner day?
Like you hang a banner.
Just to celebrate.
Look at this day.
Like a championship banner.
Yeah, banner
day. If we actually hung banners for banner days in San Diego, we'd have banners all over this place.
Fewer than we used to, though, but still, I mean, it's, you know.
I mean, we're noted. San Diego's noted for its lack of championship banners.
Yeah,
but if they truly hung banners for banner weather days.
Oh, we win the weather.
Oh, my goodness
gracious.
The
Weather World Series every day. Every single
parades
day.
Like we Most should have a parade for our weather one of these days.
I am Stephen Woods, go by Woodsy here. It's just easier. Paul Reindl is our executive producer. Benjamin Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
I go by Ben.
He goes by Ben.
Yeah,
I call him Benji. I'm one of the few to call him Benji. Great to see you guys here this morning. Great to be with all of the tier ones out there who just continue to listen to this show. And you really just make us look so much better than we actually are. I mean, it's just amazing, this community that you guys are and have become. It's just incredible. And I was talking to Adam about it yesterday. And I just am so thankful for all of you. And, you know, as I was thinking about how crappy this start to the year was, you know, and all the drama that was going on, and the fact that so many more people listen to this radio station and our show right now, just, I can't thank you enough. I really can't. So we've, you know, rebounded from a weird start to the year, and now the Padres are back, and everyone's seemingly pretty happy, you know, and it's just great to be here with you guys. I'm very thankful.
You retweeted an interesting tweet there during the break from Andrew Marchand of The Athletic, who covers sports and business, wanted to bring it up. He said Dodgers Padres on Sunday night had nearly 2 million viewers on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. Most watched non-Yankees Red Sox game in almost 6 years for the network. And I also saw MLB Network yesterday asking the question, is Dodgers Padres the spiciest rivalry now in baseball? And those numbers would indicate that there is There's some intrigue and interest about the Padres and the Dodgers
and
their matchups.
Why wouldn't there be? And I think, you know, if you're a Dodger fan, you probably take a lot of credit for that. That's fine, man. Like, at the end of the day, you got superstars on your team. But I'm telling you, man, a kid in Hamilton, Ohio, puts that game on. He goes, who's that dude in right field? I want to know what he's about. Oh, I've heard of this guy. I've heard of Manny Machado. Like, the Padres have plenty of star power on their own. Now, obviously not as much as the Giants. Spent $1 billion to get some of these guys. And yeah, they're a dirty lineup full of stars as well. But, I mean, that makes me happy as a baseball fan. Great. Like, I'm sick of Yankees, Red Sox. I mean, this has been so refreshing for the game. And the fact that it got a little spicy in the series, too, I love it, man. I love jawing with Dodgers fans. There's actually some decent ones out there that bring some good stuff. Most of them just yell, you got no rings. I mean, you can't do anything with that, you know? And so, but I think the fun part of it is the proximity, obviously, and then, you know, knocking them out in the playoffs after 111 wins. Yeah, at this point, if you're denying this rivalry as a Dodger fan, you're an idiot. There's just no other way to say it.
Dodger fans love to go, wow, the Giants are really our biggest rival.
I don't see a word.
Nothing.
A word.
Nothing.
Ben.
That's the stalest rivalry on the West Coast.
There's no doubt. I haven't seen anything that warrants that. And you can say it all you want. It doesn't mean it's true. Hey, guys, I'm 180 pounds. I'm 180.
The rest of the world.
Bro, I'm 100.
Says
I'm
130.
No, I'm 100. I'm 230, Paulie. I'm 180. I'm 180 pounds. You can say it till you're blue in the face. It doesn't make it true.
The reality of the situation now, you're right, Woods, is that the Padres and the Dodgers is definitely the best baseball rivalry, certainly on the West Coast, if not in all of baseball right now. Even Yankees Red Sox has lost a lot of its, you know, sex appeal, as it were.
What was this talking about baseball here, buddy?
All right, it is 6 o'clock in the morning.
All for him, always.
Pervert.
Sicko. It just hasn't had the same zing.
Cachet.
Though. Yeah, that it used to have. Lack of big names, you know, certainly on those teams. Lack of relevance with both the Red Sox and the Yankees in the last decade. They haven't done a ton. And while the Padres, you know, haven't broken through and won a championship, there's a playoff series now.
Against
each other.
There's a couple, actually.
You know, the Dodgers certainly have been relevant. There is some spiciness when they meet. There's off-the-field drama as well with comments that go. That's part of a rivalry. A rivalry is not simply, well, they've historically played a long time and
played against each other, had some good matches.
Had some good matchups,
games.
You know, 40 years ago. Yeah, that's some of it. But really, in a modern sports sense, a rivalry is what juices up the fans.
Yeah, Manny and Adam makes a good point in the chat. Manny and Brewstar. I mean, yes, this has been going on for a few years.
And rivalries change, and that's okay. The Red Sox and Yankees, it's still a rivalry. It's not the same as what it used to be. The Yankees' biggest rivals, probably the Houston Astros now.
Yeah.
And the Lakers and Celtics, they're still a rivalry. But over the last 15 years, it's been the Lakers versus the Warriors. Like, rivalries change, and that's okay.
It's okay. To deny it is so weird to me. Like, embrace that.
We don't need Dodgers fans' approval, like a stamp of approval on this rivalry. It just exists whether you want it to or not.
But to fight against it, and again, to say, no, the Giants are real. Okay, then why don't you tweet 7,000 times when you're playing the Giants? It's insanity, and that's good. Like, it's fun. Embrace it. Stop being weirdos. Stop being weirdos and gatekeeping rivalries. It doesn't make any sense. And the numbers come in, and you see that. Yeah, people want to watch these two teams play, and that's so ultimately great for baseball. And I wish, you know, we had ownership then that could have had this sustained for the last 20 years. It's just not the case. Now, you feel like, okay, they're certainly not on an even playing field, not even close. But it does remind me of the old Yankees-Red Sox because the Red Sox were literally David. They were David, and the Yankees were Goliath. They outspent everybody. They won. That's the difference in the Dodgers and Yankees. The Yankees actually won multiple World Series in full seasons and dominated their competition. But the Red Sox, when they got theirs, bro, I mean, it was insane. Insane.
Here's a question for the Dodgers fans who will still say, no, it's Dodgers-Giants. Who do you boo on the Giants when they come to the plate? Yeah.
Jung-Ho Lee? Oh, no, definitely not Chapman. Oh, I mean, all right, you know what? That's not fair. They're new.
Buster Posey's gone.
How about some of the older guys on the Giants? You big Michael Conforto
Brandon
haters?
Brandon
Crawford's gone.
Soler.
Yeah, Mad Bum gone. I mean, who
he was when, hey, in the early 2010s,
it was great.
When they had those guys, yeah, I'm sure that was a big rival. Of course, it was a bigger rivalry between the Dodgers and the Giants. But now, I mean, the Giants are not a horrible team, but they're not really that relevant when it comes to the spiciness of rivalries on the West Coast. They're just kind of a team that's there.
Now listen, Elisa makes a good point. Also, Dodger fans, which opposing radio show do you listen to? Do you tune in to the guys up in the Bay Area to hear what they have to say about the game? No, you don't. You listen to Ben and Woods. I'm glad you're here because I like giving you a hard time. It's fun for me.
Speaking of ratings, just because we brought it up, of course, the Caitlin Clark effect had the massive impact on the ratings of the NCAA women's tournament. They outdrew the men in the final. The ratings were up huge for the WNBA draft last night, where, shocker, Caitlin Clark was taken as the number one overall pick by the Indiana Fever last night. And there were a couple of points that were made. And first of all, the WNBA is talking about adding, I think, three teams in the next 4 years, one by 2026 and two more by 2028. They brought up some cities. One city they did not bring up was San Diego. However, to me, it actually makes some sense that the WNBA, if, you know, there's a new arena coming to San Diego, and while it may not be the 18,000-seat NBA arena, it might be a good WNBA venue for a team. There's not already, you know, two or three women's professional. This is the Sparks, but that's the only one in Southern California right now. Would it be possible, and would we be interested in getting a WNBA team, a sport that is clearly, women's basketball is on the rise, and, you know, the Wave have been supported like no other women's team in this country, in San Diego already, in the first couple of seasons of their existence. I would think that San Diego, especially with a new arena, would be a very interesting market for the WNBA to explore with expansion in the next 4 years.
Absolutely. Always in favor of bringing, you know, pro franchises to San Diego. It does nothing, in my opinion. But
doesn't mean you have to be a fan of the WNBA, yeah, or you particularly have to go to games. I'm just looking at our market and reading the room here, and I feel like there'd be a lot of support for the WNBA in San Diego.
I think there would be, too, and I think the Wave is such a great example of that. I mean, I was shocking, like, to see the amount of support that they've gotten. And with San Diego FC coming in next year, I know it's men's, but the growth of soccer support is great. Do you think WNBA would support that? I mean, do you think, like,
I think it's more likely than, like, for instance, the NHL, more reports out that San Diego, you know, they talk about it, but the Ducks, the Kings, they don't want to see it. They block it. The NBA, you know, the Clippers and the Lakers, they want to dominate Southern California. I feel like there's room, maybe, sure, for the WNBA in San Diego, though. And you know, the women's sports, the strength of women's sports here makes it a very natural fit. And, you know, while, you know, I don't think you're going to get Caitlin Clark at this point, she's going to be on the Fever at least for the next 4 years. That sport has a lot of other stars, and it is definitely something that is getting more and more attention.
They sold out of her jersey yesterday. Fanatics did, in small, medium, large, XL, double X. Sold out. You couldn't get one last night. They're probably going on the secondary market now for double the price. What an effect she's had on the game. And that's the thing. What you have to hope for college, women's college basketball, too, there needs to be, you got to ride this while it's hot. So they've done a good job marketing her, and she's a great player, but they need them. Who's the next one? You know, who's the next one that they get to kind of help shepherd along and backed up by great play?
I'll tell you one record she already owns. She is now officially the most underpaid athlete in American sports.
Dane Doby would like a word, but yes.
Her rookie deal with the Fever, which is already negotiated by their players union, mm-hmm, she's going to make about $70,000 before taxes.
That's crazy, man.
And it will increase through the first four seasons until her fourth year, when she'll make about $95,000. Not even six figures in her first 4 years. And I think I saw Darren Rovell pointed out that the entire four-year contract for Caitlin Clark will be paid for by ticket sales for game number one.
Oh, my God.
With the Indiana Fever. They'll have covered that entire deal just on the tickets alone that she brings in for her very first game. There's something wrong with that.
You're absolutely right.
She is not being fairly compensated for the attention that she's bringing to that league. Now, she'll get money from endorsements.
Yeah.
People are keep going, oh, she should have stayed in college. The NIL money is so good. The NIL money doesn't go away. They just call it now sponsorship money.
Right.
And she will still get tons of that as a WNBA player. That's not going away.
But we joked about it a couple of weeks ago when Ice Cube was like, oh, yeah, there's an invite. She wants to join
the Big Three. Or something. Yeah.
$3 million, $5 million. Yeah. And we're like, it's a funny topic to discuss, but like, she's making significantly less.
Yeah.
Significantly less by joining the WNBA. It's unfortunate. It sucks.
And that's, it's funny.
She should have, her own deal and classification. She's so good for the sport.
She makes more money than working here.
It's embarrassing.
Yes, she's on that prove-it deal. That Odyssey prove-it deal that we signed.
Yeah.
It's almost embarrassing for the WNBA that she's making that.
It sucks.
It's bad PR for the league for them to, publish what her salary is going to be. Because that's not...
Yeah.
That is not fair for what she's bringing in. And she is bringing in. She is truly the draw for a lot of people that are going to be watching that sport.
Well, and then conversely, the headline that I saw yesterday, somebody DM'd me. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was fake. The reports of Rory McIlroy going to live for a reported $850 million. Did you see that, Benny? $850
I did hear some Rory McIlroy live rumors over the last couple of days.
He's the anti-live, champion.
He was, and then they betrayed him, and now he's, he's not playing well, and it looks like they're going to be combining anyway. So, Rahm, who was also very anti-live, remember?
Yeah, he was.
Why not get your money before they combine all back together, and you're left without anything at the end of the, merry-go-round?
Yeah, money you actually have to earn by winning tournaments.
Musical chairs,
stuff,
you don't have to do anything to get the money. I mean, John Ron looks depressed.
He does.
He's out there. I mean,
Everybody has a price, I guess. He does not look happy,
but he's got his money, and I think he's just hoping. He keeps saying, we need to combine back together. He's just hoping that it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
For it to come back together. But, I thought that Caitlin Clark story was very, very interesting yesterday. And who knows? Maybe San Diego can be a potential destination for the WNBA in the next few years. All right, let's take a time out. We'll check traffic. We'll come back. Jesse Agler is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Still looking for the incorporator word for the day. Submit on our YouTube stream, on our Ben and Woods Twitter page, if you've got a crazy vocabulary word. But one that Jesse will actually say on television. Remember, that's part of the deal. It really can't sound dirty. Jesse has some standards, so keep that in mind as you submit your words. We'll get to that coming up after this traffic check with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout out to his family, Benjamin. See that? Breaking news.
Baseball-wise.
Cardinals Hall of Fame manager Whitey Herzog has died. He was 92, and I will be 100% honest. I thought that he had already left this plane.
Departed this mortal coil?
I really did.
I will say condolences out to the Cardinals family, and Mike Schilt as well, I'm sure.
100%.
Had many dealings with Whitey Herzog over the years and his all of his time in the Cardinals organization.
We'll ask him about that on Friday when we chat with him about his relationship with Whitey Herzog.
You know, Mike Schilt,
Hall of Famer, as much as
anyone that I've met, valued those relationships, the knowledge that he gained from all those people that he worked with in the Cardinals organization. Whitey Herzog, I'm sure. Tony La Russa, he talks about constantly, but also just so many people in their minor league system as well. He was just a sponge for so long.
Yeah.
In that organization. And I'm sure a lot of that came originally from Whitey Herzog.
Well, should we? We should.
We should. Why not? Yeah.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Rest in peace, Whitey Herzog.
Not passing away, but as long as we're on the subject, retiring from the broadcast booth. Yesterday, making the announcement was longtime Yankees radio announcer John Sterling, who released his last game actually was a little over a week ago. And he had already kind of scaled back his schedule a little bit. A little surprised just by the abruptness of the announcement so early in the season. You know, usually when a broadcaster is going to hang it up, it's like, this will be my last season, end of the year. So you certainly hope there's nothing.
Nobody starts a season just to pull back 3 weeks.
Yeah, usually not. So you hope there's nothing, you know, hugely seriously wrong health-wise with John Sterling.
Paul, this is John Sterling. Oh,
sweet angel.
You know, he's known for both of his signature home run call and his win call at the end of Yankees games for the last 36 years. And while a lot of people would roll their eyes and groan a little bit at his kind of corny home run calls, every single member of the Yankees would get their signature own, you know, play on words, punny home run call.
All rise, here comes the judge.
And like, we had so much fun when Giancarlo signed there, right? Remember how weird Giancarlo no si può sto parlo? I'm like, all right,
he definitely had to reach for many of them.
Oh yeah,
but there were some iconic ones as well. Burn Baby Burn for Bernie Williams was always one of the great ones from John Sterling, and I think I saw a stat where he witnessed like half of the Yankees playoff games in their history.
Yeah,
which
insane,
for that organization, that's a ton. That is a ton of baseball that guy has witnessed over the years, and just a part of the fabric of New York sports and listening to their games over the years. So former Ben and Woods guest, Paulie did arrange him through that voicemail long ago when he joined us on the show.
That's my favorite thing.
Yeah. Paul, this is John Sterling. It is 12, I don't know, let's say it's 12:30 on Wednesday afternoon in New York, so it's 10:30 your time.
Right.
No, it would be 9:30
right.
your time, please. My math was not my strong subject. Give me a call when you want me on the air. I'd be glad to do it for you. I'd love it, as a matter of fact.
Oh, it's the best part.
At some point, you know, I'll be home late afternoon. And or tomorrow all afternoon. So just get all. Thanks.
It's like talking to my wife on the phone when she calls me. How's your day? It's good.
When a conversation that could take 5 seconds, 5 seconds takes 4 minutes.
That's so good, man. I love that voicemail so much. Such a nice, nice man.
And, yeah.
You see some news come down like that and you just hope that the grind just got to be too much. And he's like, I can't do this. I thought I could. I can't. There's absolutely no shame in that whatsoever. The great John Sterling stepping away.
I hope he'll get to enjoy all the tributes. And I'm sure the Yankees have a lot of things planned for him going forward.
I saw an official press conference this weekend is scheduled for that.
No, that's good.
That's good.
That's good.
You give him a nice send off.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of great radio voices, the legendary Jesse Agler, not quite as legendary as John Sterling yet, but certainly on the road toward such legendary status.
In like 40 years, he's going to leave a voicemail for somebody like that, and they'll play it on their show.
Absolutely. Jesse will join us from Milwaukee, probably from his haunted hotel room at the Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee.
Pfister? Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll play some Incorporator with Jesse when we come back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's a bad connection at the Pfister right now. Try to get Jesse on the line. It was cutting out a little bit.
Ghost in the Machine.
Yeah, Ghost in the Machine at the Pfister, maybe. You never know.
I'm guessing he's just on a cell phone. Does anyone use their landline at the hotel anymore?
No.
I don't even want to touch the phone at the hotel.
You don't? Yeah, you also don't sleep under the covers.
That's
at
true
the hotel.
Too.
I don't know the last time I held a hand with a cord. You have to call room service with the, but they're all cordless now. When's the last time you had a handheld phone in your hand?
Do they even have to? You have to call room service still, or can you?
Yeah.
Do they not have an app at the hotel?
Where they might. They may.
The last
two times I've done it, I've just called down, but it's always a cordless.
The stretchy cords on the phones were kind of could play with them when you were talking on the phone, and you kind of wrap them around your finger a little bit. And
but like you're like chained to that area, and I'm a walker.
You used to have to be right there.
Right there.
A little payphone booth, and just had to really know.
A little metal cord.
Wouldn't pull very far. Okay, we're
going
to check traffic, and Jesse is going to join us from Milwaukee right after this on 97.3 The Fan. Well, let's transition from our fascinating and modern discussion of land. The voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler, who joins us right now on an Incorporator Tuesday on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm testing your connection there.
It's not great.
Is that the Pfister's fault?
No, I think it's your fault.
It's our fault?
It's our fault.
It could
probably
be. It's either.
I'm hearing him okay, though.
Okay.
I think we can plow on here.
Yeah, I'm surprised you want to plow through.
So I'm curious about logistics on travel. When you've got, it was a very rare situation where you have a Sunday night game into a long flight, into a road game the next day in a very far-flung part of the country, Jesse. How did that all go for you and the team on Sunday night into yesterday?
I mean, very tired, but, you know, it's funny because this actually happens probably more than people realize. You know, I think actually this is one of the rare things where the West Coast teams, generally speaking, get a little bit of a break. Because most of the time when you fly east a long way, you have a day off. They have rules, it's part of the collective bargaining agreement, actually, in terms of like how long a flight is and therefore what time you have to play the day before and if you have to have a day off the next day, that kind of thing. So a lot of the East Coast teams and the Midwest teams very regularly play like a 7:10 or a 6:40 with a game somewhere else the next day. Because we generally have longer flights, we often play earlier if we don't have a day off the next day and you know, we have to go somewhere else. But that was not the case this time. So, I don't know, I think I got to bed about 5:30 yesterday morning. You know, you try and sleep in a little bit and then you go play a ball game. But look, they've gotten very good about sort of understanding the human body for the players, you know, and like what they need and what they don't need. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about hydration and there's a lot of talk about sleep. And, you know, they certainly weren't asking anybody to get to the ballpark early yesterday. I think the old baseball cliche is that it hits you more the next day, meaning today. So, you know, we'll see. But I think everybody seemed like in pretty good spirits yesterday.
Right, let's try them one more time.
We're still a little choppy. Why don't you call us? It's 833-288-0973. You can charge us for the long-distance fees when you call back. Or call us from the landline. I wonder how much they actually charge at hotels nowadays.
Don't you remember, have to put like a calling card in or something?
Remember when you'd call and then on your phone bill at the hotel, it'd be like $17 because you called home for like 4 minutes at a hotel? All right, I think this works a little bit better. So sometimes
when they call us instead of we call out, it's a little bit better.
So, yeah, it was a good point. You know, today may be the day where you're actually feeling a little bit more. But Woods, you wanted to know, was that flight a truly happy flight after a win over the Dodgers?
And I do wonder, too, like, is the flight, like, is it kind of like what happens on the flight stays on the flight? Or is that something I wonder if you can speak about? I just want to know how the mood was. I'm imagining it's pretty good. But I'm also there he is. Hi.
Yeah, I'm here. I don't want to like burst your bubble. But you know, I've now spent parts of 11 seasons traveling with a major league team. By the time you get on the plane, everybody is on to the next almost every time.
Nice.
It's whether it's a win or a loss, whether you're feeling good or you're feeling terrible, almost every flight feels about the same.
You got to flush it. Yeah.
That's part of being a baseball player, is like having that mentality. And like, you know, they could sweep the Dodgers by the time they get on the plane, you know, because at that point, it's a couple hours after the game ends, right? Because you got to pack up, got to get to the airport, got to get on the plane, all that. By the time you take off, it's looking forward, not back. I don't know that I can remember two flights in my career here where it felt different on the plane because of what happened, either good or bad, in the game. So it's like that's how quickly the page is turned most of the time. There's no big party, you know, after a win. You know, there's no like hanging your head after a loss, because if you're doing that, your head is in the wrong place. So, the plane is far less exciting than you're imagining. It really is. It's just about getting to the next place, turning the page, getting on to the next game, and sort of moving on with the season.
The mark of a true professional. If I have a bad show, Jesse, I carry it around with me until the next one. It's the worst. You need to just learn how to flush it and move on. That's why those guys are pros at what they do. That's fascinating stuff to me.
I've already flushed today's show. It's gone.
Yes, you should have. As you should have. You absolutely should have.
We still have an hour and 16 minutes left. 16? I've already flushed it. Yeah. I'm really good at moving on.
100%.
Jesse, I've got a question for you as a broadcaster. Obviously, there are certain at bats in a game, and certain players when they come up, there's just more anticipation when Fernando Tatis Jr. or Manny Machado is at the dish, that something special may happen. Have you already started reaching that level when Jackson Merrill comes up? Like, all right, now this is, you know, just a little more attention kind of goes into it when Jackson Merrill steps to the plate.
I mean, the guy's hitting, you know, what is he hitting now?
353.
Yeah. So sure, yeah. Anytime somebody hitting 353 comes to the plate, I'm going to be excited. But yeah, no, I mean, it's every year we have some version of the conversation in April about, hey, this is a long season, you know, and it's true. And every year it's like, as baseball fans, we get collective amnesia. Oh, the
landline
phone is ringing. That's exciting.
Is it the ghost?
That is exciting.
Answer it. Let's
patch him in.
Yeah, but see who it is. I'm curious. No one
calls.
What
it is? You know what it is I forgot something in L.A. and they shipped it here for me. So I'm sure they're telling me that the package has arrived.
What did you forget?
A medication.
Oh. In the bathroom, it's always, you have to remember the hotel room, check everything twice before you leave the hotel room.
It's a numbers game, and like with the number of ins and outs of hotels that we have, like it's just at some point it's going to happen.
I get so panicked. Yeah. Every trip I ever go on, I've told you guys.
Do you use the safe?
The DOP kit. Time I leave, anywhere I go, I left my DOP kit. I have to pull over on the side of the road and open my suitcase. Whew, I brought it.
What's your four-digit combination for the safe, Jesse?
I don't use the safe. I don't have anything valuable enough that the safe is required.
Do you have to be, like, what are you doing on your vacation?
What are you putting in there, man? You're safe.
Like, I'm looking at the top of the dresser right now, and, like, the quote-unquote valuables that I have out would be, like, a thing of Purell and a chapstick. Yeah, I mean,
I've used the safe.
I don't think those need to be locked away.
So if I'm on vacation and occasionally you want to go down, like, to the pool without your wallet, I will put my wallet in the safe as opposed to leaving it in the room where housekeeping could come in. I don't want someone to take my wallet, so I've put the wallet in the safe.
And something else.
Then, of course, I feel like I'm going to forget what the dang four-digit code is when I come back. But I've used it.
He's amazing. We're talking to the great Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And yeah, this is a travel chat this morning. But I want to talk about the actual baseball that's been happening too, Jesse. Pretty different feeling over the last week, certainly. And, you know, I did see a little bit of panic about Joe Musgrove yesterday, but I do submit that anytime a guy does not clearly have his best stuff and figures out a way to give you six innings and competes his tail off, yeah, man, like, it's not a sustainable way to live by giving up runs early and hoping your offense picks you up. But I think a lot of credit needs to go to Joe for finding a way to grit through six last night and, you know, eventually pick up a win.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And there are going to be days like that. And, you know, I think you could really make an argument that in the margins of a long baseball season, you know, that's one of the most important things because it's going to happen. And so when, you know, you have a starting pitcher who has a game like that, who's feeling like that, all right, is he going to get knocked out in the third inning and tax your bullpen in a way that could have a days-long trickle-down effect? Or is he going to be able to, either with the help of the offense or not, sort of muscle his way through five? That makes a huge difference. You know, not having to cover those extra six outs with a reliever or two is something that's going to pay dividends today, tomorrow, and maybe even over the weekend against Toronto. I mean, that's the importance of doing something like that. And when you consider how often it's going to happen, and it's a lot. I know we like to imagine, you know, these top line starting pitchers going out there and throwing six or seven strong every single time they go out. It's not the case. It's just not the reality of how this game works. So every time you get a night like last night, where it's like, oh boy, this guy might not make it out of the third inning, and he ends up being able to go five or six, that is like incredibly big for the big picture. And we saw things sort of spiral away last year because that wasn't happening. It was one of a thousand things that weren't happening. But so far this year, that's one of the key things that I think is different from a season ago.
Talking to Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, and we were just mentioning the retirement announcement from John Sterling of the Yankees, 36 years in the booth. And you obviously have a different style. Everybody has a bit of a different style, but do you feel like you've modeled yourself on anyone in terms of like how you call games, Jesse, based on who you listen to growing up?
You know, it's funny because obviously I get that question a lot, and I don't think there's any way to deny that you're influenced by those that you hear. You know, there's kind of like a legendary story about Vin Scully that when he was first getting started with the Brooklyn Dodgers, Red Barber told him never listen to anybody else because you don't want to like absorb their style. Yeah. You want to be your own. And I've heard a couple stories over the years that Vin took that extremely literally. Like I've heard one version of the story that he had never heard anybody else call a baseball game ever in his life. You know, I don't know if that's actually true or not, but it's
even possible. How is that possible? Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I know. That was probably apocryphal. But either way, you know, like it's a little bit of a fine line because there is something to that, right? You don't want to listen too much to one person because it's subconscious. You know, it seeps into your brain and you sort of start to not turn into that person necessarily, but you probably start to take more than you should from that person. So I love listening to baseball on the radio. I obviously watch a bunch of games on TV as well. And I'm sort of very intentional about not spending too much time listening to one person or one team because I don't want things kind of seeping into my head. But yes, of course, we're always taking, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. Mudd and I had a conversation last night sort of joking about, you know, nothing's an original thought. You know, nothing is yours that you came up with. We're all borrowing from each other, either consciously or subconsciously. That's just sort of the nature of our business. But yeah, I've been influenced by a lot of people. I try really hard, though, you know, to sort of be me. And boy, I don't know if anybody was themselves more than John was, you know, in terms of what we do on the radio. Just a wonderful voice to start with. You know, he's one of those guys, you could literally listen to him, just read the ingredients off the box of cereal and it would be entertaining. And he did it his way for a very long time. You know, I think there was a period of time when people, fans, critics, whomever, didn't fully understand and appreciate John because he wasn't cookie cutter. And I think as time went on, people started to realize this job, particularly on the radio, but you could argue it for TV too, is not necessarily about perfect play-by-play and being overly precise in your descriptions. Those things matter. They are important, obviously. But know your audience. That is rule one of public speaking. And I think about this every night when I'm with Tony on the radio here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 FM. I think, who is my audience? It's somebody stuck in traffic in Del Mar or on the 78. And like, they don't need the most precise description of the ground ball to shortstop for the second out of the inning in a 5-1 game. They need to feel comfortable. They need to feel entertained. They need to feel familiar. And so our job is to just make that person feel at home, feel relaxed, like they're enjoying the baseball game. And I think John was an absolute master of that.
That's so well said. And that's literally our philosophy here in the morning as well. You know, just try to be with people as they drive into work and about to slog through a day or whatever. That's it, always
put a smile on somebody's face. Always sitting in traffic.
Always go back to that, man. That's the whole thing.
All right. We're going to go to the Incorporator. Oh, don't steal God. That. That one's mine now, Jesse. Woods, you've got the word for Jesse today.
Jesse, I got to get out of here, bro. I have to get out of here. I'm begging you. Can you ask the team if I can travel with you guys? Something I'm losing it at this point. Yeah, one of our tier ones submitted this in the chat, and I like this. The word itself, I don't think it's going to be too difficult for you. Erinaceous, E-R-I-N-A-C-E-O-U-S, erinaceous. Always fun with the definition, like or relating to the hedgehog. Erinaceous
hedgehog,
which is amazing. Like. What a weird.
How does it get its own adjective?
It's, yeah, like or relating.
There are some wild words in this language.
The hedgehog.
How many animals get their own adjective?
Right. That doesn't. Exactly. Exactly. Erinaceous. Wow.
I would just say hedgehoggy. That's
yeah, he's very hedgehoggy.
Very hedgehoggy.
Yeah.
Erinaceous. Hedgehog like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like or relating
like, is there
to
a
the
word?
Hedgehog.
Is there a word for dog like or elephant like?
Canine?
Maybe. I don't know.
Canine?
That's more scientific. I guess erinaceous is probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's a scientific term. I didn't know hedgehogs were that interesting. All right, we'll have some fun with that.
Erinaceous.
I'll text you.
Another couple days on television until Don gets back again. They need a private plane for Don, I said earlier today, to get him a little faster to and from his national gigs.
You have to take that up with the Turner broadcast.
That's what we said. Turner can afford it. Yeah. Yeah. Get Don faster to and from his games.
Just big leaguing everybody. Sorry, guys. Another TBS game. See you later. Like, just a big leaguer.
Jesse, have a good one. Good to talk to you as always.
You too, guys.
All right. I'm glad we had him called back. It was a much better connection on the third try there when we got Jesse back from the Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee, where his package safely arrived. That's pretty fast. If he forgot it in L.A. on Sunday night, and he's already got it Tuesday morning.
That's like good. A medication. I imagine that's something you want.
Good
package
delivery. Good service at those big league hotels.
Why don't you
get that in the minor leagues.
Why did you pry on what he was?
What
he was?
What medication specifically, Jesse?
Yeah. Are you suffering from depression or something? What do you need? Do you have trouble sleeping?
I know that I forget things in hotel rooms. You forget things in hotel rooms.
I forget
rooms.
Things everywhere.
Random stuff.
I was saying, unless
for
it was
me,
a medication.
It's oftentimes in the closet. Like, I left something hanging in the closet.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, my jacket. I didn't check the closet before I walked out the door.
That's the amount of final checks that I do every time I leave a hotel.
And you still miss things somehow.
Yeah, I know. Happens to me.
The charger plugged in next to the bed.
Mine will be in the hallway outside of the room. And I'm just hang on.
It's a bad connection at the Pfister right now. Try to get Jesse on the line. It was cutting out a little bit.
Ghost in the machine.
Yeah, ghost in the machine. At the Pfister, maybe. You never know.
I'm guessing he's just on a cell phone. Does anyone use their landline at the hotel anymore?
No.
I don't even want to touch the phone at the hotel.
You don't? Yeah, you also don't sleep under the covers.
That's
at
true
the hotel.
Too.
I don't know the last time I held a hand with a cord. You have to call room service with the, but they're all cordless now. When's the last time you had a handheld phone? In your hand.
Do they even have to, you have to call room service still, or can you, do they not have an app at the hotel?
They may.
Type
the last
in now?
Two times I've done it, I've just called down, but it's always a cordless.
The stretchy cords on the phones were, kind of could play with them when you were talking on the phone, and you kind of wrap them around your finger a little bit.
But like you're like chained to that area, and I'm a walker.
You used to have to be right there.
Right there.
Payphone, a little payphone booth, and just had to really know.
A little metal cord.
Wouldn't pull very far. Okay, we're going to check traffic, and Jesse is going to join us from Milwaukee right after this on 97.3 The Fan. Well, let's transition from our fascinating and modern discussion of land. The voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler, who joins us right now on an Incorporator Tuesday on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm testing your connection there.
It's not great.
Is that the Pfister's fault?
No, I think it's your fault.
It's our fault?
It's our fault.
Yeah, it could
probably
be. It's either.
I'm hearing him okay, though.
Okay.
I think we can plow on here.
Yeah, I'm surprised you want to plow through.
So I'm curious about logistics on travel. When you've got, it was a very rare situation where you have a Sunday night game into a long flight, into a road game the next day in a very far-flung part of the country, Jesse. How did that all go for you and the team on Sunday night into yesterday?
I mean, very tired, but, you know, it's funny because this actually happens probably more than people realize. You know, I think actually this is one of the rare things where the West Coast teams, generally speaking, get a little bit of a break. Because most of the time when you fly east a long way, you have a day off. They have rules, it's part of the collective bargaining agreement, actually, in terms of like how long a flight is, and therefore what time you have to play the day before, and if you have to have a day off the next day, that kind of thing. So a lot of the East Coast teams and the Midwest teams very regularly play like a 7:10 or a 6:40 with a game somewhere else the next day. Because we generally have longer flights, we often play earlier if we don't have a day off the next day, and you know, we have to go somewhere else. But that was not the case this time, so I don't know. I think I got to bed about 5:30 yesterday morning. You know, you try and sleep in a little bit and then you go play a ball game. But look, they've gotten very good about sort of understanding the human body for the players,
Yeah. You
know, and like what they need and what they don't need. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about hydration and there's a lot of talk about sleep. And, you know, they certainly weren't asking anybody to get to the ballpark early yesterday. I think the old baseball cliche is that it hits you more the next day, meaning today. So, you know, we'll see. But I think everybody seemed like in pretty good spirits yesterday.
Right, let's
try and one more time.
We're still a little choppy.
It's
Why don't
choppy.
You call us? It's 833-288-0973. You can charge us for the long distance fees when you call back, and or call us from the landline. I wonder how much they actually charge at hotels nowadays.
You
remember,
have to put like a calling card in or something.
Remember when you'd call and then on your phone bill at the hotel it'd be like $17 because you called home for like 4 minutes at a hotel. All right, I think this works a little bit better. So
sometimes when they call us instead of we call out, it's a little bit better.
So yeah, it was a good point. You know, today may be the day where you're actually feeling a little bit more. But Woods, you wanted to know, was that flight a truly happy flight after a win over the Dodgers?
And I do wonder too, like, is the flight is it kind of like what happens on the flight stays on the flight, or is that something I wonder if you can speak about? I just want to know how the mood was. I'm imagining it's pretty good. But I'm also there he is. Hi.
Yeah, I'm here. I don't want to like burst your bubble, but you know, I've now spent parts of 11 seasons traveling with a major league team. By the time you get on the plane, everybody is on to the next almost every time.
Nice.
It's whether it's a win or a loss, whether you're feeling good or you're feeling terrible, almost every flight feels about the same.
You gotta flush it. Yeah.
That's part of being a baseball player, is like having that mentality. And like, you know, they could sweep the Dodgers by the time they get on the plane, you know, because at that point it's a couple hours after the game ends, right? Because you got to pack up, got to get to the airport, got to get on the plane, all that. By the time you take off, it's looking forward, not back. I don't know that I can remember two flights in my career here where it felt different on the plane because of what happened, either good or bad, in the game. So it's like that's how quickly the page is turned most of the time. There's no big party, you know, after a win. You know, there's no like hanging your head after a loss, because if you're doing that, your head is in the wrong place. So, it, you know, the plane is far less exciting than you're imagining. It really is. It's just about getting to the next place, turning the page, getting on to the next game, and sort of moving on with the season.
The mark of a true professional. If I have a bad show, Jesse, I carry it around with me until the next one. It's the worst. You need to just learn how to flush it and move on. That's why those guys are pros at what they do. That's fascinating stuff to
me. I've already flushed today's show. It's gone.
As you should have. As you should have. You absolutely should have.
We still have an hour and 16 minutes left. 16? I've already flushed it. I'm really good at moving on.
100%.
Jesse, I've got a question for you as a broadcaster. Obviously, there are certain at-bats in a game, and certain players, when they come up, there's just more anticipation when Fernando Tatis Jr. or Manny Machado is at the dish that something special may happen. Have you already started reaching that level when Jackson Merrill comes up? Like, all right, now this is, you know, just a little more attention kind of goes into it when Jackson Merrill steps to the plate.
I mean, the guy sitting, you know, what is he hitting now?
353?
Yeah. So sure, yeah, anytime somebody hitting 353 comes to the plate, I'm going to be excited. But yeah, no, I mean, he's, look, it's every year we have some version of the conversation in April about, hey, this is a long season, you know, and it's true. And every year it's like, as baseball fans, we get collective amnesia. Oh, the
landline
phone is ringing. That's exciting.
Is it the ghost?
It is exciting.
Answer it. Let's
patch him in.
Yeah, but see who it is. I'm curious. No one
calls.
You
know what it is? You know what it is? Is I forgot something in L.A. and they shipped it here for me. So I'm sure they're telling me that the package has arrived.
What did you forget?
A medication.
Oh. That's in the bathroom. It's always, you have to remember the hotel room. Check everything twice before you leave the hotel room.
It's, you know what it is it's a numbers game, and like with the number of ins and outs of hotels that we have, like it's just at some point it's going to happen.
I get so panicked. Yeah. Every trip I ever go on, I've told you guys.
Do you use the safe?
The DOP kit. Time I leave anywhere, I go, I left my DOP kit. I have to pull over on the side of the road and open my suitcase. Whew, I brought it.
What's your four-digit combination for the safe, Jesse?
I don't use the safe. I don't have anything valuable enough that the safe
weird
is required.
Do you have to be like, what are you doing on your vacation?
Yeah, really, what are you putting in there, man? You're safe.
Like, I'm looking at the top of the dresser right now, and like the quote unquote valuables that I have out would be like a thing of Purell and a chapstick. Yeah, I mean,
I've used the safe.
I don't think those need to be locked away.
So if I'm on vacation and occasionally you want to go down like to the pool without your wallet, I will put my wallet in the safe as opposed to leaving it in the room where housekeeping could come in. I don't want someone to take my wallet, so I've put the wallet in the safe.
And something else.
Then, of course, I feel like I'm going to forget what the dang four-digit code is when I come back. But I've used it.
He's amazing. We're talking to the great Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And yeah, this is a travel chat this morning. But I want to talk about the actual baseball that's been happening too, Jesse. Pretty different feeling over the last week, certainly. And, you know, I did see a little bit of panic about Joe Musgrove yesterday. But I do submit that anytime a guy does not clearly have his best stuff and figures out a way to give you six innings and competes his tail off. Yeah, man, like it's not a sustainable way to live by giving up runs early and hoping your offense picks you up. But I think a lot of credit needs to go to Joe for finding a way to grit through six last night and, you know, eventually pick up a win.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And there are going to be days like that. And, you know, I think you could really make an argument that in the margins of a long baseball season, you know, that's one of the most important things because it's going to happen. And so when, you know, you have a starting pitcher who has a game like that, who's feeling like that, all right, is he going to get knocked out in the third inning and tax your bullpen in a way that could have a days-long trickle-down effect? Or is he going to be able to, either with the help of the offense or not, sort of muscle his way through five? That makes a huge difference. You know, not having to cover those extra six outs with a reliever or two is something that's going to pay dividends today, tomorrow, and maybe even over the weekend against Toronto. I mean, that's the importance of doing something like that. And when you consider how often it's going to happen, and it's a lot. I know we like to imagine, you know, these top line starting pitchers going out there and throwing six or seven strong every single time they go out. It's not the case. It's just not the reality of how this game works. So every time you get a night like last night, where it's like, oh boy, this guy might not make it out of the third inning, and he ends up being able to go five or six, that is like incredibly big for the big picture. And we saw things sort of spiral away last year because that wasn't happening. It was one of a thousand things that weren't happening. But so far this year, that's one of the key things that I think is different from a season ago.
talking to Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, and we were just mentioning the retirement announcement from John Sterling of the Yankees, 36 years in the booth. And you obviously have a different style. Everybody has a bit of a different style, but do you feel like you've modeled yourself on anyone in terms of like how you call games, Jesse, based on who you listen to growing up?
You know, it's funny because obviously I get that question a lot, and I don't think there's any way to deny that you're influenced by those that you hear. You know, there's kind of like a legendary story about Vin Scully that when he was first getting started with the Brooklyn Dodgers, Red Barber told him, never listen to anybody else because you don't want to like absorb their style. Yeah. You want to be your own. And I've heard a couple stories over the years that Vin took that extremely literally. Like, I've heard one version of the story that he had never heard anybody else call a baseball game ever in his life. You know, I don't know if that's actually true or not, but it's
a little bit of a How is that possible? Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I know. That was probably apocryphal. But either way, you know, like, it's a little bit of a fine line because there is something to that, right? You don't want to listen too much to one person because it's subconscious. You know, it seeps into your brain and you sort of start to not turn into that person necessarily, but you probably start to take more than you should from that person. So I love listening to baseball on the radio. I obviously watch a bunch of games on TV as well. And I'm sort of very intentional about not spending too much time listening to one person or one team because I don't want things kind of seeping into my head. But yes, of course, we're always taking, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. Mudd and I had a conversation last night sort of joking about, you know, nothing's an original thought. You know, nothing is yours that you came up with. We're all borrowing from each other, either consciously or subconsciously. That's just sort of the nature of our business. But yeah, I've been influenced by a lot of people. I try really hard, though, you know, to sort of be me. And boy, I don't know if anybody was themselves more than John was, you know, in terms of what we do on the radio. Just a wonderful voice to start with. You know, he's one of those guys, you could literally listen to him, just read the ingredients off the box of cereal and it would be entertaining. And he did it his way for a very long time. You know, I think there was a period of time when people, fans, critics, whomever, didn't fully understand and appreciate John because he wasn't cookie cutter. And I think as time went on, people started to realize this job, particularly on the radio, but you could argue it for TV too, is not necessarily about perfect play-by-play and being overly precise in your descriptions. Those things matter. They are important, obviously. But know your audience. That is rule one of public speaking. And I think about this every night when I'm with Tony on the radio here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 FM. I think, who is my audience? It's somebody stuck in traffic in Del Mar or on the 78. And like, they don't need the most precise description of the ground ball to shortstop for the second out of the inning in a 5-1 game. They need to feel comfortable. They need to feel entertained. They need to feel familiar. And so our job is to just make that person feel at home, feel relaxed, like they're enjoying the baseball game. And I think John was an absolute master of that.
That's so well said. And that's literally our philosophy here in the morning as well. You know, just try to be with people as they drive into work and about to slog through a day or whatever. That's it, always
put a smile on somebody's face. Always in traffic.
Always go back to that. That's the whole thing.
All right. We're going to go to the Incorporator. Oh, don't steal God. That. That one's mine now, Jesse. Woods, you've got the word for Jesse today.
Jesse, I got to get out of here, bro. I have to get out of here. I'm begging you. Can you ask the team if I can travel with you guys or something? I'm losing it at this point. Yeah, one of our tier ones submitted this in the chat, and I like this. The word itself, I don't think it's going to be too difficult for you. Erinaceous. 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 Always fun with the definition like or relating to the hedgehog. Erinaceous.
Hedgehog.
Which is amazing. Like, what a weird...
How does it get its own adjective?
It's, yeah, like or relating.
There are some wild words in this language.
The hedgehog.
How many animals get their own adjective?
Right. That doesn't... Exactly. Exactly. Erinaceous. Wow.
I would just say hedgehoggy. That's
yeah, he's very hedgehoggy-ish.
Very hedgehoggy.
Yeah.
Erinaceous. Hedgehog-like.
Yeah. Yeah. Like or relating
like,
is there to
a the word? Hedgehog. Is there a word for dog-like or elephant-like?
Canine?
Maybe. I don't know.
Canine?
That's more scientific. I guess erinaceous is probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's a scientific term. I didn't know hedgehogs were that interesting. All right, we'll have some fun with that.
Aaron,
I'll text you.
Another couple of days on television until Don gets back again. They need a private plane for Don, I said earlier today, to get him a little faster to and from his national gigs.
You have to take that up with the Turner broadcast.
That's what we said. Turner can afford it. Get Don faster to and from his games.
Just big leaguing everybody. Sorry, guys. Another TBS game. See you later. just a big leaguer.
Jesse, have a good one. Good to talk to you as always.
You too, guys.
All right. I'm glad we had him call back. It was a much better connection on the third try there when we got Jesse back from the Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee, where his package safely arrived. That's pretty fast. If he forgot it in L.A. on Sunday night, and he's already got it Tuesday morning.
So it's like good, a medication. I imagine that's something you want.
Good package delivery. Good service at those big league hotels. Why don't you get that in the minor leagues?
Why did you pry on what he wanted? What he was getting?
What medication specifically, Jesse?
Yeah. Are you suffering from depression or something? What do you need? Do you have trouble sleeping?
I know that I forget things in hotel rooms. You forget things in hotel rooms.
I forget
rooms.
Things everywhere.
Random stuff.
Unless it was a medication.
For me, it's oftentimes in the closet. Like, I left something hanging in the closet.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, my jacket. I didn't check the closet before I walked out the door.
That's the amount of final checks that I do every time I leave a hotel.
And you still miss things somehow.
Yeah, I know. Happens to me.
The charger plugged in next to the bed.
Megan will be in the hallway outside of the room. And I'm just hang on. Let me just do one more time.
Hundreds of chargers.
There.
My favorite is this. I've called down before. I've forgotten a charger on the trip. Like, forgot to grab it off my nightstand at home. Called down to the front desk. Do you guys have an extra charger? No, we don't. I'm like, BS. I've left 40 chargers. You're full of it.
Just throw them all away.
You are so full of it. So
hotel employee has to be great if you ever need a charger.
If you ever need anything. Imagine the things that they have found in rooms. I mean, imagine the things they found. I would love to interview one someday.
Well, I apologize if I embarrassed Jesse. I mean, we all take medications. So
I'm sorry.
I don't think it was really that embarrassing.
I'm very sorry, Jesse. I'm very sorry as well.
All right, final hour. Okay. Ronald Report. Paulie will tell you what medications he's on and get you to Annie and Elston at 10 o'clock on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.